listening to Wirral Wave.
Wirral Wave.
To heavy sessions, black cabs in a nightclub crawl. I feel a premonition, 10 pints gonna make me fall. I'm into bad temptations, doing things that just ain't right. I've got a new addiction for Liverpool City at night. See me down on Matthew Street and dance in the rain. The body from the car, and I can't go there again. I'm feeling so much shame. Come on, going down, down, down. Little I'll be down in the ball. Going down, down, down. Little I'll be down in the ball. 18 beers out and drinking Diet Coke.
Yes, guys, yes. Welcome to La Vida Liverpool Live. Here on Wirral Wave Radio with me, Justin Hopper from La Vida Liverpool Magazine. So if you are tuning in for the first time, as I always do, let me just get you up to speed. My name's Justin, I own La Vida Liverpool, which is a positive news magazine spreading love and joy and positive stories throughout the region and beyond. So I've had the online magazine of La Vida Liverpool, ran it by myself for 7 years now, La Vida Liverpool Live radio show for over 3 years now, and it's then evolved further into the print magazine, 5,000 copies throughout the region, best quality magazine in the region, if I may say so myself, high quality glossy A4s. So the next 6th edition of the print magazine is coming very soon. In fact, imminently, in the next month or so. So in the next few weeks, we'll be going to print. A lot of work involved. Welcome to La Vida Liverpool Live radio show on Wirral Wave Radio, which is, you know, they're doing amazing things here, Wirral Wave Radio, to promote positive news through the medium of radio. So it's great to have the show here on Wirral Wave. Every Thursday evening, we have special guests of the magazine. You know, all sorts of amazing people, businesses, charities, events that I work with and promote. So, yeah, it's really great to have this show here. And we have special guests talking about the great work they're doing to make the world a better place. So teamwork makes the dream work. Certainly the case. So, yeah, we've got two special guests as always lined up. My first special guest of the evening, she's just running a couple of minutes late. She's travelled a fair way from Southport to be on the show. So my first special guest, who I will introduce in a moment, in a minute I'll be playing her first song choice and then going to let her in when she's here in a second. In the meantime, tell you what I've been up to with La Vida Liverpool. Well, all sorts, promoting all sorts of great things. We've got the Liverpool Book Festival on the 7th of September, coming to Invisible Wind Factory in Make. I'm putting together a spectacular book festival showcasing amazing authors, wonderful authors, all sorts of different genres of books they'll be selling. So authors, you get to meet authors, you get to meet the authors direct, you get to, you know, buy their books directly rather than go through the likes of Amazon. So buy the books directly, they get to sign the books for you there. So Q&As, we got workshops, we got live music, we got street food, we got artisan stalls. It's going to be fantastic. If you love books, Liverpool Book Festival, just give it a Google, Liverpool Book Festival. Tickets are just £10. So, yeah, really looking forward to that. You know, literary extravaganza I'll be hosting in September. So, Yeah, really looking forward to that. What else has been going on? Well, I have just, literally just got to the studio myself, to the station here about 10 minutes ago. I've just arrived back from Iceland. Not the shop. I've been going to a crazy rush to buy all those turkey dinosaurs and smiley faces and waffles and some frozen delights there at the supermarket that is Iceland. No, I've actually been to the country Iceland to see the legendary life coach Linda B. Linda Baldsvindottir and Bergvin. Yeah, absolute lovely friends of mine, Linda and Bergvin, you know, just amazing human beings. I went to stay with them for 4 days and they were incredible. What tour guides they were. As soon as I got to the airport, they picked me up and we embarked upon some epic road trips, seeing the waterfalls, the blue lagoons, the geysers. It was just amazing. And, you know, got to see their beautiful hometown, got to see Reykjavik, did the flyover Iceland experience in a simulator. So, yeah, that was incredible. What can I say, guys? I mean, Iceland's expensive. Fortunately, I stayed with them and they were my tour guides, so I was kind of lucky, really. As a country, it is just incredible. Nature, you're just constantly reminded about the power of nature all around. So if you're thinking about going to Iceland, I would certainly recommend it. Just awe-inspiring, you know, otherworldly landscapes there. Volcanoes, glaciers, geysers, there's like boiling water, there's icy cold glaciers, gorgeous mountains, the volcanoes that can erupt at any point. It's something to behold, it really is. I've just been to Iceland and I've just got to the studio now about 10 minutes ago. So, you know, I'm a professional here, guys, you know, none of this got a bit of jet lag, I'm tired from having such a lovely time, I'm going to just go and chill, I'll do the show next week. No, we're straight back to it on Wirral Wave Radio. So, my first guest, she has arrived, I believe. She sent me the right blue door. My first guest has sent me a photo of the blue door. She says she's outside. And that's definitely not the blue door. I think she's outside the wrong blue door. So, guys, I better play the first song chosen by my first guest, and I better run outside just to see where the hell she is. So I'll be back in a few moments' time.
What a beautiful day! But you and I would never look back. And wasn't it incredible? So beautiful, and above all, just to see the fuse get lit this time, to light a real bonfire for all time. And what a beautiful day. Full time,
temples down without a sound. But the generals, they were hiding out, the ministers, well, they'd all gone to ground. Wealth redistribution became the new solution. So I got a paper bag, but you got the one with all the holes. And what a beautiful time.
Yes, guys, that was Levellers. What a beautiful day. And it's a beautiful day. And it was very much a beautiful day every day when I was in Iceland. So, you know, amazing time, amazing time. A little bit out of breath, sorry, guys. Need to get back to the gym. I've clearly not been in the gym whilst I've been away, so that's clearly a need. I've just been running outside to see where my first guest Dawn is. She's just a little bit lost here in Birkenhead. Obviously, she's come all the way from Southport. Said she's by the pyramids. Not the pyramids in Egypt, that is. That would be a long way to get here from the pyramids. But yes, the mighty pyramid shopping centre in Birkenhead. She's by there. So I am just awaiting her arrival. But yeah, why don't I jump in and tell you a bit more about my Iceland adventure. So, yeah, it was incredible. I mean, I arrived Sunday morning, got there and got picked up by Lindy and Björgvin from the airport. Absolute legends that they are. Took me on a huge road trip. So we visited a Blue Lagoon and we were at the top and looking down at the Blue Lagoon. It was stunning. Crystal blue water. We got some beautiful photos. Just incredible nature. Amazing scenery on the, you know, there's mountain ranges and volcanic mountain ranges all around, you know, when you're driving through the country there. So that was incredible. So, yeah, we went to a tomato plantation where they have, I must say, the best tomato soup I think I've tasted in my life. That was wonderful. So we visited the tomato plantation. We saw some incredible waterfalls. There's a great photo of me with a rainbow over me as I'm standing almost under the waterfall, which was pretty special. And we went to visit the caves. You know, it was just something else we did on the first day. It was very much action-packed. Linda treated us to some lovely food. You know, she made a lovely lamb dinner. You know, went to, on the last night, oh my word, we went to the grill market in Reykjavik. Just, I think, what a restaurant. We had a lovely sort of selection of starters. Some steak and some shrimp, and it was incredible. And some beautiful seafood, you know, and then beautiful steaks for the main. We had the chocolate lava cake with ice cream for the dessert. It was next level. We had some gorgeous wine. The food there was incredible. It isn't cheap. It's about, if you're going to think about going to Iceland, guys, it's literally about double the price, so, you know, expect to pay about £10 a pint. But as I say, I was with the locals, so, you know, A, they looked after me really well and, took me to some great places, but it didn't have to cost the earth because I was staying with Linda and Björgvin, you know. The geysers were insane. You know, you stood next to these boiling water, little vessels of water, and, you know, you just waiting for it to bubble and it just explode and shoot out into the air. You know, that was something to behold. It really was. So yeah, if you are thinking about going to to Iceland, I can, you know, I thoroughly recommend it. It's very special indeed. I was very lucky because it was really nice weather, unheard of to be as hot as it was when I visited. In May you won't really get it going above 20, but it was very sunny, which was a nice surprise. In the summer months, it's very light, guys. You'll find that it's light most of the time. You get about 3 hours of darkness at night. You know, it's literally like, you know, the sun was setting about midnight. You know, it's very light. But then, you know, in contrast, in the winter months, it's long, dark months, very cold, very long and dark months. You will find that, yeah, winter months, it can be pretty bleak there. Again, it's the other way. You might get about 3 hours of light, you know, so tough months, but it makes them very hardy indeed. And they are wonderful people, the Icelandic people there, so welcoming, in particular Linda and Björgvin, of course. We went to the Sky Lagoon, that was incredible. Swimming in a giant hot tub, really. But yeah, we were swimming and looking over at the sunset in the sea in this giant sort of, you know, giant hot pool in, you know, at the top of, you know, looking over to the sea. It was just beautiful. We had a spa experience there and a couple of drinks up there. That was just fantastic. It's just, you know, there's just so much to do there, you know, in nature. It's just awe-inspiring. Some of the waterfalls were powerful as hell. Powerful waterfalls, you know. As I say, it's just a constant reminder, really, of the beauty and power of nature all around. It's quite humbling, really. So yeah, what that was, just what an experience. I work hard with La Vida Liverpool. I work all the hours, you know. People who know me know that I often work morning till midnight running this big operation that is La Vida Liverpool. You know, a lot goes into it. It really does. It's just, yeah. Yeah, it can be exhausting at times, running the online magazine, the print magazine, the radio show, you know, just putting out all that content and doing the marketing and PR and, you know, promoting businesses. It's a lot for one person to do, it really is. So, you know, to get away for a few days was an absolute delight, and I've come back invigorated, but very, I feel, you might tell by my voice, guys, quite chilled out right now. I'm just full to the brim with love and just having such a wonderful time. So it's just great to get a break. You know, it's important to do that, because otherwise we just get, you know, we often get consumed with our day-to-day lives, and we get so caught up in this day-to-day existence, you know. It's so important for many ways to, you know, either go away. It doesn't have to cost the earth. Go and stay with a friend somewhere different part of the country or something, you know. Just try and take time for yourself to just get away and have a break, because, you know, it's so important to recharge the batteries. And when you go somewhere else, I find, you know, you get a fresh perspective on things. You really do. You sort of, you know, as I say, you're wrapped up in the day-to-day life. When you go somewhere else, you look, it's like taking a helicopter view on your life. You know, you're looking at your life, you're looking at, you know, everything that you know, that you do in your life. You're looking at it from a different perspective, especially when you go to a completely different culture and a different country, and, you know, and everything's different. It just gives you a different view on things. And that's stepping back, slowing down and taking stock. And, you know, you often find you get your best inspirations and your best ideas for when you're abroad, you know, when you're somewhere else. So yeah, I would thoroughly recommend Iceland, guys. I really would. It's great to be back, though. I love New Brighton. Linda and Bjergvin will be my guests in New Brighton in September because, as I say, she has got a stall at Liverpool Book Festival in September. So it will be great to welcome them here again. I'm going to show them the delights of New Brighton again. Obviously do a couple of things in the city. I'm going to actually hire a car and take them around North Wales, because there's some real beauty there, isn't there, in North Wales. So I'm going to return the favour and give them a VIP experience. But yeah, it's great to be back here. I'm looking forward after this show to going back to the beautiful hometown that is New Brighton. Loads to do, loads of work to do with La Vida Liverpool. If you are tuning in for the first time and you are wondering, he keeps going on about this La Vida Liverpool, what's it all about? Just check out our website, guys. Check out our website, www.lavidaliverpool.co.uk. There's all sorts of stuff going on there, different categories and sections with different things. What's on, you know, there's some great things. Obviously our book festival's being promoted there, but there's all sorts of wonderful articles about great things going on. You know, there's food and drink section we've got there, guys, showcasing great restaurants and bars, and the stories about the people behind them. You've got, you know, music and nightlife. We're talking about the BBC Radio on Big Weekend, the we're promoting at the moment the Rollerdrome at the Invisible Wind Factory, where you go skating. How cool is that? You know, the Free Animal Rescue Festival at Walton Hall Park, your Rescue Fest. You've got People in Life. You can read about great authors and people who are doing great things there. Health and beauty section, arts and culture. We've got sports, we've got travel, we've got fashion. There's so much. There really is so much at La Vida Liverpool's website. So check it out, guys. Check us out. And as I say, if you're looking for something different, alternative, something to do, or a bit of inspiration about things to do and where to go and everything, just check it out. It's lavidaliverpool.co.uk. We're going to play another little song break now. So this is, again, the choice of our first special guest, who has finally entered the building.
I'm here.
She's entered the building. She's found the place. Coming from Southport to Birkenhead, you know, it's easy to get lost. There's lots of different roads. She was by the pyramids at one point. I thought Egypt, the pyramids, you might have been, you know. It was like, I was getting worried. But she's here. So, guys, I'm going to play our first special guest's second song choice now, Born to Be Alive. And they'll be back in a few moments to start this incredible conversation with our first special guest. Back in a few moments.
Alive. You see before
Yes, guys, so that was Born to Be Alive, and that was the second choice of our first special guest, who has finally made it to the station, to the studio, Dawn Patricia Gadsby, who has got a very inspiring story, very inspiring indeed. She suffered terribly from alcoholism and then completely healed herself, and without AA or anything like that, found her own way to cure herself and her own methods and techniques to cure herself from alcoholism, and then has now gone on to become a therapist and help others, and has helped countless people with issues like alcoholism and similar issues. And then she's now released her fascinating book Addiction Connection, which is smashing it there on Amazon. It's been a number one in a number of different categories, so this, it's a fascinating book about her journey, you know, warts and all, no messing around, you know, to the point, you know. And it talks about her, you know, awe-inspiring journey, really, of self-discovery and self-healing. So yeah, it's a very inspiring story, an amazing book. So Dawn, how are we doing?
Just glad to be here after like doing what seems to be three laps of Birkenhead train station. But no, I'm grand. I'm great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
And I love listening to that song, because that song, Born to Be Alive, just reminds me every day of how glad I am to be alive and just appreciate every single moment that there is to it.
Yeah, well, you know, as I say, you know, you've been through a lot, and it's, sometimes you've got to go there to come back, as the Stereophonics say. And, you know, from when you overcome adversity, you know, and completely go on this incredible journey, you know, it's always very inspiring when you hear people do that, and then they give, you know, back the lessons they've learned, which is exactly what you're doing, you know. So I mean, where do we start with your story? I mean, should we take it back to the beginning and talk about, you know, what your life was like when you were in the midst of, how did it all start, you know, alcoholism for you and addiction?
Well, it wasn't something that I chose at careers service at school.
Yeah.
I had a sexually traumatic incident happen when I was 12 and a half. And I was a very, very, very naive 12 and a half year old. I'm not like any of the teenagers today. And that's completely... And I didn't tell anybody. I was too ashamed, too embarrassed to tell anybody. But that completely changed my self-perception of me. And what I thought people wanted of me. Round about that time, it was very prevalent for people to have home parties, because it was in the 70s, you know, early 80s, and my parents were very sociable people. So I discovered the after dregs, the alcohol, and I loved how that made me feel. So from a very early age, I was going out to the pubs, like age of 14 or so, drinking. And it just numbed who the feelings inside, because I felt a misfit, I felt ashamed, I felt, who's going to want this? But alcohol gave me that social buzz, that confidence, that I could be the woman I always wanted to be.
Yeah.
But it's addiction, there's no yes or no. Pete, you can't say, yes, I am an alcoholic, no, I'm not. There's like a continuum. So we started off where a glass or two glasses or three glasses, a bottle of wine a night. And if you have that every night, then that gradually creeps up.
Yeah.
Until I was drinking, probably by my mid-20s, I was drinking a bottle of brandy a night. But at that point, I'd got my degree. See, I was functioning at this time.
Yeah.
I got my degree. I was working in a top marketing job in Manchester, company car, own house, commuting every day. We've got Sex in the City and all that glamour and everything else. Who thinks it's great to come home from work, pour yourself a drink?
Yeah.
And that was my excuse. I was just doing Sex in the City, being like those other women. But they don't drink, as I say, a 70 centilitre bottle of brandy before going to bed about 4 o'clock to get up for 6 o'clock to commute to work the next day.
I think there's probably quite a lot of functioning alcoholics out there, and you know, I think alcohol's such a accepted thing in our culture. So, you know, for example, if you go to a corporate office on a Monday morning and come back with tales and say, I was absolutely smashed all weekend. I don't remember a thing that happened. I went and did this, I went and did that. There'd be all fits and laughter. They'd all be like, this is great, this is great, you know, and this is fun, this is good, you know. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there who probably go home and literally, you know, there's probably lots of people who go into jobs they hate and it's just a job to pay the damn bills, and they're probably mortgaged to the hilt, and they probably just go home and watch the soaps and drink a bottle of wine a night.
Yeah.
And to them, that's no problem. That's not being an alcoholic, but it actually is. Because
it is. It's alcoholic drinking, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're when I first started learning all about this stuff, I learned that if on a Monday morning, you may not drink till the Friday, but if you're planning that Friday drink and what you're going to have and where you're going to go from the Monday, and it's all you're looking forward to, and psychologically you've got an issue with alcohol.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I mean, my dad passed away 7 years ago. My dad was an alcoholic and just stopped, you know, which is what you've done. But, you know, what... You know, how bad did it have to go for you to say, you know, enough's enough? What made you think, I cannot drink anymore?
For my personality is 150%. If I like something, I do it to the nth degree.
Yeah.
And for that, I think that's what drove me to drink, literally to the point where I could feel I was killing myself. I'd had jaundice, I'd had pancreatitis, I'd been in and out of hospitals with fits and seizures. And on this particular moment, I was too ashamed to call an ambulance, yet another ambulance, but I went into withdrawal by accident. So for 36 hours, my limbs were juddering and shaking. I could do nothing about it.
Mm.
I was being sick constantly, so even though nothing was coming up, and that lasted about 36 hours, and I spent most of that on the bathroom floor.
Mm.
It was around 6 in the morning. I crawled my way up and I caught a glimpse of myself, my eyes in the mirror.
Mm.
And I really looked at myself and I thought, why am I doing this? Why am I killing myself?
Yeah.
And surely life without alcohol cannot be any harder than life with alcohol is.
Yeah.
Because it becomes your number one. It's like you breathing oxygen. You know, if you were running low on supplies of oxygen, you'd want to know where your next gasp was coming from. That's what alcohol was like for me. I woke up with it next to my bed. I needed to know where it was, where I was going to get hold of it, when my next fix was, how could I... It's just all consuming.
Yeah.
But that moment, that morning for me was, if I don't stop, I'm going to die, which the consultant later confirmed. This was in the April. He said, if you'd carried on drinking, you'd have been dead by Christmas.
Yeah. That's serious.
That for me was my turning point. I chose to live rather than just exist, because that's all we do when we're drinking is we're just existing in this ghost-like state.
Yeah, it's sad when someone's going through that and doesn't take that advice. I mean, I've watched friends pass away from alcohol. There's people I know who have been told they can't drink anymore. A doctor said cannot drink anymore, you'll die, and they continue, and they're continuing every day, and it's just like, it's sad to see. It's they must be in some serious denial to think it's okay.
Well, alcohol gives you kind of like a double think, because it's your crutch, it's your best friend, it's the one thing, and it does have an addictive voice that talks to you like a separate person, and it's your best friend, your crutch, you're the one thing that, you know, you can turn to me and I'll always be there for you.
Mm.
But it knows, part of you knows that it's destroying you, but this alcohol voice has said, but I'm the only thing that can save you.
Yeah.
But also the person with the issue has to want to give up for themselves.
Yeah.
And it's that realisation. So much time we think, oh, we're immortal. Oh, that's not going to happen to us. That happens to other people. Like yourself, I've got loads of friends who've, you know, in their 20s and 30s who've died because of alcoholism.
Yeah.
But it's always like, it won't happen to me, it happens to somebody else. But it doesn't, it can happen to you.
Indeed. And I think it's got to be, hasn't it? You know, alcohol's got to be one of the biggest problems that faces society today, especially in our country, because it's such a socially accepted thing, but the things it leads to, not just the damage of someone themselves, but abuse, violence, and cheating on each other, you know, domestic abuse, addictions, like leading, you know, how many people do we know who they have a drink, they would never do cocaine normally, but they have a drink and it leads to cocaine, or if it leads to gambling, you know, if they were sober, they wouldn't be gambling hundreds
or
thousands.
That's why it really annoys me when people say things like cannabis is the gateway drug. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Alcohol is the gateway drug.
Absolutely.
And it's one of the worst ones out there, but it's legal.
Yeah.
So in my book, I actually say, why don't we open the discussion about legalising all drugs? So in that way, everyone will know, will get educated, because no one, I never knew anything half about alcohol. It just comes in pretty bottles that were sold on the shelves and got me high.
Yeah.
That's all I knew. In my book, I list all the things that it can do to you physically. For example, when I stopped drinking, it took me 18 months to learn to walk again properly because of the damage to my nervous system. So, but it's, let's open the discussion about all drugs.
Yeah.
So, you know, some, I'm not going to run out and go and say, oh, because it's, I can go and try heroin now.
Yeah.
People tend to have their primary drug of choice. And if they can't have that, then they'll utilise something else.
Yeah.
But it's, no, alcohol isn't going to, you know, going to make you run out and try something that, well, sorry. Alcohol can, because it lowers your inhibitions and makes it seem like such a good idea to try that line of coke or those couple of E's or that whatever that substance is that that person's got. Yeah, I'll give that a go. By which time they have blackout and can't remember a thing the next morning.
Yeah, and you know, imagine the number of people who've died through violence or gotten into big fights, or there's people who, they would never have done that sober. They would have never, like, knocked that person out and hit their head to the ground and killed them if they were sober. It's all alcohol-fueled. And, you know, it is tough to, you know, keep the discipline. It's tough to, it's very difficult to say, for a lot of people, say, I'm going to go out with my mates, have two or three pints, I'm happy, you know. If you've got an addictive personality, or your mates and you had a few bevies, your mates say stay out, next thing you're annihilated and it's six, and that's how trouble can happen. That's how you can get yourself in trouble, you know. You don't make the right decisions.
Yeah, I have one friend that I met recently who can do that, and she sets an alarm on her phone, so when she's had four drinks, that's it, she knows it's time to go home. But she's the only person I've ever known been able to do that. But I've never been able to social drink. I always had an issue with alcohol. I always liked it too much. So I would never, I don't see the point in having just the one. If you're going to have a drink,
yeah,
have a bottle, pass out on the floor. That was my mentality back then.
Yeah, yeah, don't do things by halves kind of thing, you know, all out with something, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, next thing you know, it's every day a bottle or more, you know. So
it takes a lot of hard work and determination to get to the physical dependency stage, which is where I got to, and that is when you've crossed the line in the sand, because up until that point it's psychological and you can work with the psychological side of things. When it gets physically dependent, that's when you have to have alcohol in order to survive.
Jeez.
Because you take the alcohol away, you can have fits, seizures, strokes, coma. And that's the time that I got the armed police out to Nottingham General Hospital. Because I was in withdrawal in the middle of the night and I thought I heard gunshots. So I took all my, you know, drips and everything off, rang the police from the toilet, told them there was somebody shooting at me, got down to the front doors, they were all locked, but outside there was a big armoured police car, which was coming for me.
Oh my goodness.
So the doors opened and literally two police guys came in with big rifles, found out what the situation was, escorted me back to bed, and then I got sectioned for my own good.
Well, you've certainly come a hell of a long way since, and you know, looking forward to hearing about the journey of recovery, because this is the really inspiring stuff that's going to help people, you know, if they're going through the same or know anyone who is, this is some real power. And it's fully detailed in your book, Addiction Connection. Before we go into that, I'm going to play a little song break.
Yes.
So we've gone for, you've gone for Mozart. We've got a bit of Ace of Spades.
Ace of Spades.
Belter. Right, I'm going to play this and we'll be back, guys, in a few moments' time. Yes, that was Mozart, Ace of Spades. Another dynamic choice from our first special guest of this evening. We're talking to Dawn Patricia Gasby about her incredible journey of recovery. It's been a journey to say the least, hasn't it? I mean, talking there about the gritty realities of addiction, you know, and alcohol, you know, the absolutely underestimated issue in society, you know, it's ruining lives, but yet it's, you know, it's killing people on a daily basis in great numbers, but we laugh and joke about it. We laugh and joke that you get absolutely smashed.
Now imagine,
and
if you, you know, said those same jokes but substituted the word heroin or something
imagine going to work on a Monday morning. Oh, what a weekend I had loads of heroin in the news, you know. They'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, what are, you can't say that. But alcohol is completely acceptable. It's laughed about on a daily basis. But, you know, the violence, the domestic violence, the abuse, you know, the deaths on a daily basis, the lives that are ruined, going on to cocaine and gambling and all sorts. You know, it's, needs to be addressed, doesn't it?
The whole issue of addiction needs to be addressed, but by people who understand it. Because from what I've seen in the community-based rehab levels, they offer a very basic level. They shove you off to an AA meeting for aftercare because that's free. A lot of times they don't have staff on who've had lived experience.
No.
And, you know, when I was going in to see people, I wanted to speak to somebody who'd been in my position. I wanted to speak to somebody who'd been an alcoholic, and how did they find it and how did they do it? Yeah. Not just somebody who'd read from a textbook.
Indeed. And sure, people are wanting to know, how on earth did you do this with pure willpower?
No, not willpower. Okay. That's just abstinence. There's a difference between abstinence and recovery. Recovery is a lifestyle.
Okay.
It's a whole lifestyle change. Abstinence is just putting the drink down and then keeping the rest of your life set the same. I'm just not drinking it. You're kind of white-knuckling it. Mm. Whereas recovery is taking you back to looking at yourself, where your wounds start from, where you started plastering over the cracks with alcohol. And then I just threw myself into drinking. I threw myself into everything recovery. Mm. I tried AA a couple of times. It is most definitely not for me. Mm. But I tried Smart Recovery, which some pretty good lessons came out of that. I looked at rational emotional behavioral therapy, which is really good. There's a couple of books out there called, one by Jack Trimpney called Rational Recovery, and it talks about the addictive voice. So all of a sudden I was hearing about all these different versions apart from AA, because that's just what's bandied about TV and everything. So to me, your recovery is you're creating your own mosaic pathway. Like I've put on the back,
yeah,
that's your recovery path. Mine's going to be different to yours. Yours is going to be different to mine, because different bits make up the pieces. For starters, when I first got home, I redecorated the lounge, so it was nothing like the drinking den it had been before.
Yeah.
Threw out the furniture.
Yeah.
And then even just starting, like, coming out of my road and turning left instead of turning right. Let's make changes. I'm not getting stuck in a rut. I want to learn new things.
Yeah.
Plus, I started volunteering 6 months after at an addictions charity.
Yeah.
And I started my person-centred 4-year qualification to become a counsellor.
Amazing.
So that helped me a lot as well, because it helped me understand me and why I was using it. And yeah, that gave me more ammunition to shout back at it, because you do have to talk back to that voice.
Yeah. Do you still have to? Because I remember my dad said, you know, when my dad was alive, my dad was an alcoholic and stopped drinking at around about the age of 32, I think it was. And, you know, it was his birthday, I think it was his 50th or 60th, people offered him a shot, and he said, no, I'm once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. He goes, I can't even have a shot, you know. Do you have temptations in social situations, or you completely, that's not even an issue anymore?
99% of the time, it's not an issue, because my thought was I wanted to learn how to make not drinking as normal as drinking had become. So nowadays, 99% of the time, I don't think about it. But it was my 11th year sober anniversary on the 11th of April, and that little voice was going, come on, you can have just one glass of champagne.
Yeah.
One this, one that. You know you can't. You know you'll be fine the next morning.
Mm.
And I probably would be. I probably could have that one glass. But then that next day, it'd be, well, you've done it once. You can do it again. Before I know it, I'd be back drinking 1.5 litres of vodka a day.
Yeah.
Give it a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So nothing will tempt me back.
And how's your life since then? So obviously, you know, healing, curing yourself, looking within, you know, realizing the, you know, all the triggers and everything, and completely now not drinking. How would you compare your life from then until now, you know?
My life for the last 11 years has been absolutely incredible. Mm. The amount of experiences I've managed to pack in, the amount of things that I've achieved and done. I've done more in those 11 years than I did in my previous 25 years plus of addiction. You know, I've worked in addictions for 10 years, and that's where I found my vocation, because I never knew what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I found my vocation was helping others, counselling others through domestic violence, sexual abuse, addiction. And it kind of all brought it together. Yeah, I mean, like last year I started playing the drums, started learning to play the drums, and I absolutely love it. Roller skating, I will give anything a go now, because I feel I've lost so much time to addiction and wasted years. Right, the next 20, 25 years I've got on this planet, I'm going to make damn sure I have a live it to the max.
Yeah,
not turn anything down, just, you know, give everything a go. And that's what I want to get across to people, is you can change, you can transform yourself.
Yeah.
Because even the way I think about people, the way I think about myself, my whole perspective on everything has changed.
Yeah.
And people can do that. They just need the head and the heart to agree.
Yeah.
And you can't do it for anybody else. You've got to do it for yourself.
Do you think, you know, having, you know, purpose, hobbies, you know, things to do, you know, do you think that's a big one? Because do you think a lot of people out there drink out of boredom, like literally work all day and just go and watch soaps and drink wine?
Because they've got nothing else to do, or nothing else of inkling to, either the mates have gotten up, and I'm talking about men here actually, either the mates have gone off married and got family, or, you know, what do they do when they get in after? If they haven't got a good social circle of friends, it'd probably be, well, I'll crack a few cans at home, or I'll go down to the pub, and that's how you get, you know, the men who know each other in the pub and stuff. But I think a lot of it is out of loneliness and boredom. But I always think nowadays there's no excuse to be bored. You've got the internet. We've all got things that we like to do. And that's something that I had to learn. I had to learn what my favourite colour was.
Yeah.
Purple, by the way.
Yeah.
But I had to learn what I liked to do. What did I enjoy doing? You know, as opposed to what other people told me I should be watching or should be doing. What did Dawn like doing? What did Dawn like eating?
Yeah.
So it's a journey of self-discovery.
And your book, Addiction Connection, you know, tell us about what's the book all about. And, you know, you've achieved some great success with it already with Amazon, haven't you?
Yes, I reached number one in four different categories. One of them was pharmacology, which I was made up with because that's my degree. And the other one was neuropharmacology. And it reached an Amazon number one bestseller as well. And I've had people message me from as far away as Australia to say, I've read your article, you know, I've read it. There was an article about me as well. Read the article, read the book, absolutely amazing, so inspirational. Yes. And that's really what I want to get across, is if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
But what I didn't want my book to be was autobiographical.
Autobiographical's one, isn't it?
That's the one. I can't think of my words.
It's a mouthful.
So it's not like just a chain of my events. I wanted the highlights, the gory bits. Like the time I was walking down to Nottingham train station, feeling normal, and then walking towards me with people in Victorian dress with parasols, top hats, amongst all the normal dressed people. And that was the auditory hallucinations before I ended up on yet another ambulance, which my first thought was, how did they get the ambulance down the stairs to the station? So it goes into the gory bits about that, the proper DTs of it all.
People need to hear that. They need to know the shocking realities.
Yeah. Like I say, it took me 18 months to learn to walk properly because of the damage to my nerve endings. But it's, my four points are based around acceptance, understanding, learning and change.
Yeah.
And what you were saying before about functioning alcoholics, or people not saying they're not alcoholics, is there seems to be an unwritten mental checklist. Well, if I'm not drinking it out of a brown paper bag, I'm not sat at the station, I'm not lying on a park bench at night, I've not got a scruffy beard, therefore I can't be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And yet I know housewives, business owners, all kinds who are alcoholics, they're just functioning.
Yeah.
But they won't admit it because they're not, that's the stereotype.
Yeah.
But one side, it's Carl Rogers, my favourite. He said, the curious paradox is, as soon as I accept myself just as I am, then I can change.
Yeah.
So as soon as I realise I'm an addict, okay, fine, what the hell, it doesn't make me a horrible person, but now I can do something about it.
And if anyone's listening and, you know, the you know, they know deep down that they've got a problem, you know, what's your advice to them? What would your advice be if they're struggling to resist the daily temptation of alcohol?
firstly, buy my book.
Yes.
Because that's got a lot of stuff in it that would put you off. Because I list all the things that alcohol can cause you physically as well. There's about 4 pages worth of all the damage that alcohol can do to your body.
That's the what people need to hear. That there's no point pussyfooting around.
So
is
this is what I mean. It's a warts and all. Let's all have it out there.
Yeah.
But get help. Speak to somebody who has been there. Speak to somebody. Message me. I'm on Facebook, Dawn Patricia Gadsby. If anybody DMs me or messages me, I will always get back to them.
That's right.
Because it takes an addict to help another addict.
Mm.
And I'm so passionate about helping as many people as I can. And that's why I wrote the book. You can get through it. You're just not necessarily having the right tools or the right support at the moment, because sometimes families can be the worst type of support, and partners can be like secret saboteurs, because they'll say they want you to stop drinking, and then as soon as you do, they don't, because all their privileges have been taken away. You know, the people pleasing from the drinker. Yeah. Oh, yes, my darling, I'll do anything for a quiet life.
Yeah.
That's gone. So, you know, just there is help out there.
Yeah.
It's just getting hold of it. But as I say, message me on Facebook.
And your book, so how do people purchase Addiction Connection, whether it's, for themselves or for someone else, perhaps, if they know someone who's struggling, you know?
I've had a couple of people buy one for themselves because they're the family of an alcoholic, and they want to understand, but they've also bought a copy for their alcoholic person, because it's not preachy, it's non-judgmental,
and it's from someone who's been there, done that, and wore the t-shirt. It's not like someone who's looking down on someone. This is real lived experience.
Yes, this is all written from the heart, and you know, it's finding what works for you. But hobbies are essential. Find out some hobbies, be it reading, be it cartoons or magazines or whatever, drawing. Rediscover some of the things you like doing as a kid. I mean, I like crocheting, so I started crocheting. I did all kinds. I've got all kinds of interests. But it's just so cravings only last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay? All you have to do is get through that 20 minutes.
I'll tell you what's a good one as well. If you swap a bad addiction with a good one, so instead of drinking, go to the gym. Yeah. I mean, that's a double bubble, because you're not doing the damage and you're feeling bloody amazing because you've been to the gym and you're going to get in great shape. So, you know, replacing a bad addiction with a good one is a good way to go, isn't it?
Unless, and I have to, my therapist side of me has to say, unless you're going 7 days a week, you're not giving your body a break and you're not nourishing yourself enough.
Yeah.
But other than that, if physique or going to the gym is your newfound thing, then do it. 100%, definitely.
And before we finish, I'm gonna play a song to finish on the first choice of the second guest of this evening. Before we do, just to remind people of spelling the book, because it's got an X in it. So it's Addiction, A-D-D-I-X-I-O-N, Addiction Connection, C-O-N-N-E-X-I-O-N. So all you need to do is Google Addiction Connection, with the X's instead of the CT.
Yeah.
Addiction Connection, Dawn Gadsby, and your book will come up, won't it?
And if anybody just wants to Google my name, the first full page of Google comes up with articles about me, about what I've done and about my journey.
Yeah.
So if anybody needs to check my credentials, it's all there on the internet.
Yes, and you know I've got to say this, a shameless little plug here for our book festival. On the 7th of September, Invisible Wind Factory and Make, the inaugural Liverpool Book Festival. I'm very excited about it. And Dawn will be one of the wonderful authors there.
Yep.
So you can actually meet Dawn in person, have the conversation, you know, buy Addiction Connection and get your book signed by Dawn in person.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to that one, aren't we?
And I will answer questions openly and honestly, transparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's going to be special. And it's amazing to have you part of it. It's amazing to have you on air. So inspiring, and you know, Raising awareness, you know, but also, you know, offering support and tools to people to help them get through it. And sometimes, you know, you've got to be brutally honest about things, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, and I am.
Yeah.
You can't kid a kidder.
No, exactly. No, it's amazing. Thank you so much for coming on, Dawn.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Justin.
Absolute inspiration.
Thank you.
Back in a few moments for the second half of the show, guys. Nice one.